Good morning once again. Thankful for our time in worship. Today we are starting a new study as we are going to spend the next few months here walking through the Genesis 1 through 11, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Our normal practice here at Hope Valley Church is that when we gather, when I or someone else stands before you with the word, is that we're walking through a book of the Bible. And so we're going to take this first portion of Genesis, and really excited about that. I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, right at the beginning there. Now, I normally would help you out. If you're using the Bibles on the chairs, I normally give you the page number that's for those Bibles. Today, I can give it to you for all of you, all right? It should be page 1, unless you have some type of weird numbering, which sometimes we do, right? But right at the very beginning, Genesis 1. A little bit of introduction here as we're starting this new study. We know different things. Maybe you know a little bit about the book of Genesis. Maybe you know a lot. Maybe you know as much as it's the first book of the Bible and not a lot else. It's okay. But here's what we know about the book of Genesis. It is the first book of the Bible, the first book of the Old Testament. It's also the first book of what is called the Pentateuch, or the Law, which is a name given to the first five books of the Old Testament. The Pentateuch as a whole, these five books are attributed to the authorship of Moses writing this. Genesis itself doesn't directly tell us that Moses is writing it, but everything we understand points to that understanding that this is Moses who's recorded Genesis for us here. And specifically, as I mentioned, we're not going to go through the whole book yet, all right? As we go through chapters 1 through 11, those chapters are set aside as kind of this introduction to the whole Pentateuch, the whole law here, and even to all of Scripture. And they serve a tremendous importance here. And so I hope and pray that as we spend time in this, as we spend time here in these chapters, that we see a couple of things come out really clearly. In the book of Genesis, we see this very clear theme of blessing. But we also see the results of sin, which brings curse. So we see the blessing and the curse. And through all of this, even from the very beginning, we're going to see that it is Jesus is present. And that Jesus is to be longed for, but he is not absent at the same time. And so let's read. Today we're only reading the first two verses, all right? Next week we will look at almost the whole rest of chapter 1, a much larger portion. But today we want to just really deal with some issues just right here at the beginning of what we have here. So, verses 1 and 2, if you'll follow along with me. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." As we see these two verses only, there's a question that I believe we must answer today. I believe it's the most important thing for us, if we want to claim the name of Jesus and take the identity of a Christian and identify as a follower of Jesus, it's really one of the biggest questions that we have to answer. And it's specifically a really, really important question as we try to understand the creation account. And the question is this: do you believe God is who he says he is? That's our biggest question today. That's the biggest thing that is going to help us to understand this, is if we believe in God, if we believe in the God of the Bible, and we believe the things that God says of himself, and that the Old Testament, the New Testament, that the Bible, his holy word, the things that it testifies about God, if we believe in that God, then we will understand the creation in a special way. But if we do not believe in him, we might say we believe it, but if we do not truly believe in the entirety of who God is and who he says he is, then understanding of the creation is much more difficult. So, let's look at it. The first thing that I think it is extremely important for us to understand here is that this is a story all about God. It's a story about God. You notice the very first words here, the first sentence of the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God is the subject of that sentence. The focus is on Him. God is the subject of all of the Bible. The focus, it's all about Him. When we gather together as a church, it's all about God. It's not about us. In Isaiah 46:10, it says, "I declare the end from the beginning, what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place, and I will do all my will." In the story of Scripture, it's the story of God's unfolding plan. It's the story of God's will carried out. It's a story of God's action. And we have this tension, though, right? Because we really, really, really like to make things about ourselves. We really want something that we want things to be about us. We want attention. Even if we're shy and we act like we don't like attention, there's still ways that we like attention. There's still ways that we like to be treated. And there's so much this tendency for all of us to want to only look at a situation as in how it affects our desires and our wants and our feelings and the fairness that we feel like we deserve, right? But we have to listen really carefully here today. And we have to understand very clearly that the Bible is not a story about humans. The Bible is the story of God, who created humans in His image and loved them so much that He sent His only Son to die for their sins. Humans are a major part of the story, but we are not the subject of the story. We are the recipient of God's grace. But it's all about God. He receives all the glory. He is sovereign and He is in control over everything. One of the pitfalls that we can fall into when reading the Bible and when living life with this human-centered perspective is that we begin to believe that everything should be understandable by human means. We believe that we can make sense of everything with our brains and with our intellect and with the things we understand about the world. And don't misunderstand me here. I am not saying that we should not pursue greater understanding of the world. And I am not saying that we should not study the world and use science and things like this. But we have to have this understanding that while God has given us an amazing amount of knowledge of to greater understand His creation, the amount of knowledge that all of the humans on earth, if we our combined knowledge, is still but a very tiny amount of the reality of what there is to know about God and His creation. A human-centered view of the world will lead us to try to attempt to exclusively understand the world and humans by human methods. And we will never get there. We will never find the knowledge of creation we're looking for if we're trying to define it all outside of God being the subject. So, we're back to that question. Do you believe God exists, and do you believe that He is who He says He is? The biggest problem that we are tempted to believe in talking about creation is that man knows more than God. And because when we fall into this, we fall into this trap of believing that we have to believe that the earth is billions of years old because that's what man is coming to the conclusion of. So that must be the case, right? But if you believe in God and that God is who he says he is, the words of the Creator are vastly more important than the words of the created one. We're created by him. We don't know more than him. And when we understand, we'll see this more in a moment, but really, regardless of what worldview someone has, you don't get to the point of where we are in the year 2023, right? You don't get to the point with all the things we know about the human body, with all the advancements and things we have around us, of believing that all of this exists without believing in miracles. Even if you're trying to use a purely secular, scientific, modern scientific worldview, there still has to be some miracles that happen along the way because it still doesn't make sense. And if we're going to believe in miracles, I think we're best off believing in God and who he says he is and understanding it from his perspective. And the next thing, so we see here that the story is all about God, that God is the subject. But we also want to see here today, second thing, is that creation came out of nothing. When it says in verse 1, we just read, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 2, it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. As I said a moment ago, we're not going to get into all the days of creation today. We'll get there next week. But here's what we see just right here. We see verse 1, that God created the what we call the totality of the heavens and the earth, okay? And then we see immediately follows that, it says that it was formless and void. And it was covered in darkness, it was covered in water. And then from verse 3 through the end of chapter 1 and verse 31, we see that God is giving form to creation. That he is separating the heavens and the earth. He's creating light. That he is forming the land and all these things, right? And then we see that he's created the living beings, the plants and the animals and humans. And we see at the end of verse 31, we see this phrase here where it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. It was completed. His creation was completed. And as we see in this, we're seeing this unfolding of God's glory, right? And in Hebrews 11:3, it says this. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. What is seen was made from things that are not visible. That what was created came from nothing. This is the beginning. God created it. God formed it. And you'll hear a lot of theories here. You'll hear a lot of theories of trying to explain the creation of the world and reconcile that with a secular viewpoint of how do you reconcile this and all these things. But what is so clearly here, one, is that we do not want to attribute anything as the truth of God that we do not find in his word. And what we find in his word is that he created it. It was in the beginning. There was nothing. He created it. He gave it form. He gave it life. And it was good, he said. It was good. He looked at his creation and he said it was good. It was not a creation that was plagued by death and war and turmoil and all these things and had to be recreated. No, it was the beginning and it was good. Think with me here about just the intricacy of the human body, right? We can think about all the systems we have, and I was never like a really smart science guy, right? That was never like something I really held tight to or like understood as well as other subjects. But I can understand, right, that I've got bones and muscles and all the different types of blood cells and all the things that make up the body, right? And how intricate it is, how complex it is. You know, one thing I was reading this week, it talked about this study done a number of years ago. And it was a study where they took like one of these big supercomputers, right? And in this, they had 82,944 different like computer processors. Okay, so almost 83,000 processors. And it took these 83,000 processors 40 minutes to simulate the 1 second of human brain activity. So a supercomputer with 83,000 processors took them over half an hour to kind of simulate 1 second of what the brain's doing, and I'm sure that was incomplete. It's amazing, right? It's incredible to understand what God has created, who He has created us to be, how He has formed us and made us. And the above all else, today, I want us to walk away. If you know Christ as Lord, I want you to walk away in awe and in worship of who our God is. And if you don't know Him as Lord, I want you to be drawn to Him and to know that He is the only place worthy of putting your faith. He is the only one who can give you salvation. There's a well-used metaphor I think is attributed to a number of different people here, but it said, imagine if you took a living organism, you tried to get any type of living organism, not a human body, but just something that's alive, from this like prebiotic soup, it called it, right? So just from kind of all this dead, not living organisms. If you're trying to get something living from that, as many people will say, that's what happened billions of years ago. They compare it to like to a tornado coming through a junkyard and a Boeing 747 resulting from the tornado, right? We would never imagine that, right? We would never think that's even possible. We would never even think it's possible for this table to get formed by random stuff going through a junkyard, right? Or by random processes. Yet, we seem, and so many people seem to believe that it's possible for us. The most, hands down, the most complex thing created to have been formed by random chance. Something I read, it said it this way. It said, chance assembly is just another way of saying miracle. Just another way of saying miracle. So no matter what, whether you admit it or not, you believe in miracles, right? And so let me tell you about the miracle that is worth believing. It is the miracle that God created everything, that He designed it all. He gave form and order to it all, that He spoke it into existence. In Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, "It was you who created my inward parts." So speaking to God here, it says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began." We were not created by chance. You, in the individual uniqueness of who each of us is, not just that humans were designed, but you as an individual was specifically designed by the God who created everything that has ever existed. What an amazing reality that is. He created you. He designed you. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. He knew you before you were even existed. His plans are very good. He is so good. And he is sovereign. He is in control. He is worthy of our worship. In Revelation 4, verse 11, it says, "Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, because you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." He's created everything, and it all exists by his will. It's created by his will. And the reason we spend time just looking at these first couple verses here before we start to jump into, you know, more of the meat here of the larger portions of content and the narrative here that we have in Genesis, is because it is fundamental to how we understand God. It is fundamental to our ability to walk in obedience to him. It's fundamental to our ability to understand our salvation, to understand the cross. It is all based on believing that God is who he says he is, believing that God created everything, that he created us from nothing, that he is worthy of our worship. But there's something also really amazing to me that I see here, that we see happening in Genesis chapter 1. And it is this understanding that creation is an act of the triune God. Triune meaning that God exists in three persons. And he has for all of eternity that there is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And we'll see how specifically we see all of these three persons of one God active here in creation. One of the scholars I was reading this week, he said it this way. He said, "The beginning is pregnant with the end," talking about Genesis. And as we see that Jesus is active in creation, as we see even from the beginning, even from, as we'll get in a few weeks, to Genesis 3 and the sin and the fall, we'll see pointing towards the Redeemer. From the beginning, it's pregnant with the end. And this could not be more true than right here. What we see is that the Father, God the Father, initiates creation. In the beginning, God. That he created the heavens and the earth. But something else we see here is that Jesus, the Son, carries out creation. Here's how we understand that. There are a number of different verses throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, that testify of the fact that Jesus was there and that what God the Father initiated was carried out through Jesus the Son. Let me read a couple different verses for you here. It says in John 1, verses 1 through 3, "In the beginning was the Word." This is capital W Word. This is understood that the Word here is meaning Jesus. Okay? And so as God the Father is saying, and he's creating, he's speaking it into existence, that Jesus is the Word. It's through Jesus here. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created." In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him." In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Jesus is there. It's all created by and through Jesus. Now, once again, as we understand that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are together as one. There are three persons of one God. And this is one of those things, as I just said a moment ago, that the human brain, we can understand what Scripture teaches us, but we cannot totally understand the Trinity. But we know what the Bible teaches us right here. We see it clearly. We see, and there's many other scriptures that testify to what I just read. We also see, look in verse 2, that the Holy Spirit is present here. We see that it was the Spirit of God that was hovering over the surface of the waters. And we understand here, as we said a moment ago, that the Father initiated creation, that the Son carried it out, and we see that the Spirit completes, fills, and gives life to creation. So, here's the thing. Guys, I would be failing you. I'd be failing at my duty as your pastor here today if I stood here today and talked all about God created the world without acknowledging what is to come, right? It is the gospel that has saved us. It is by the gospel that we can come together and worship Him. And so while we are looking at just the very, very beginning right here today, and we're looking at God creating this perfect world, what we know is that we do not live in a perfect world anymore. What we know is that sin came. And if you know much of the story, you know that it's only like a couple page flips away. It's very soon that sin entered the world. And that because of sin, there was a brokenness that God, as we'll see in the next couple weeks, that God created man in His image. He created them to live in fellowship with Himself. But that sin broke that. Sin separated us from relationship with God. And then we'll see this story that unfolds all throughout the Old Testament. We see these prophecies of a Messiah to come, of a Redeemer who will come. Then we see in the beginning of the New Testament, as we just celebrated Christmas a few weeks ago, we see that Jesus, God's eternal Son, who is sitting there, who's active in creation, who's at the right hand of God for all eternity, that He comes to earth as a baby, as a human, and that He lives without sin, so that He could take on the penalty for our sins as He died on the criminal's cross, that He rose again on the third day. And that all of this is so that you can have life. So that your sins can be forgiven. So that you can know newness of walking with Jesus. I remember in my life, many years ago, when I for a long time had known these truths, I could tell you these things I just said. But I remember when I finally realized that I needed this in my life, that I was living with a burden that was marked by sin, that I was living with a brokenness that was because of sin. And when I came to that point of saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, I know that I am separated from You, but by Your blood, by Your sacrifice, I can be made new. And I trusted in Him for my salvation. Many of you have heard You tell me this story of coming to place faith in Him, of realizing that there is nothing you can do on your own, but that it is all by the grace of God that we have forgiveness of our sins, that we have salvation and new life. And that is such an incredible story. We're talking about miraculous events of the creation of the world here. Well, one of the reasons it's so important that we understand and believe that God works in miracles is because if we don't believe in the miracle of the resurrection of our Savior who rose again on the third day, who was dead and came back to life, then we have nothing to believe in. We worship a God of miracles. We worship a God who is bigger than anything we can wrap our minds around. He is bigger than anything we can completely understand. And He is good. this morning, as we wrap up, we're going to sing a final song. During that time, I'll invite you to stand and sing, to kneel and pray, however the Spirit leads you. But also to know this truth, as I just spoke about, maybe this is the first time you've been in a church, maybe it's the thousandth time you've been in a church, but either way, it might be true that you have never come to a place of realizing your need for Christ alone to make you new. That maybe you've tried to be a really good person, you've tried to do what the Bible says, you've tried to uphold all of these things, and you've worked really, really hard at it, but you have been trying it all on your own. And you have not come to a place of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you the good news today, is that if that's you, Romans 10:13 says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing you can do, but the free gift of our Lord is eternal life through Christ Jesus. That you can trust in Him, that He will do the work. He will, you receiving what has been done on your behalf. If you've not done that, know that you can grab me, you can reach out, you can grab someone beside you and talk. We would love to talk and pray more about that. If you have done that, if you know the Lord as your Savior, if you've come to Him by faith, then my prayer today is that you will be right now just struck with awe and wonder of who our God is, of what He has done. That maybe in this week, you'll find yourself meditating on the God of creation. We can look around, and we live in a very beautiful place that we're privileged to live in, as we can look around and see that here sometime today, next week, I don't know, sometime these clouds will lift, this storm will pass through, and we'll see these beautiful snow-covered mountains, right? And we can stop and we can appreciate the creation around us. Even in the midst of the brokenness, even in the midst of the scars of sin on our world, we can see the beauty. And we can know that for those who are in Christ Jesus, the best is yet to come. That our home is not here. We are in a foreign land. But our home is eternity spent with God. Thank you for being here with us today. Know that our greatest desire as a church is to bring God all the praise, glory, and honor. We desire for you to know the goodness of Christ, to walk in life and intimacy with Him. Let's pray together today. Lord, I come to you just truly amazed. Lord, that everything that has ever existed, all of your creation, all of the world, we even just thinking about the earth, but we know it goes far, far beyond what we see here on earth. That you created the universe. You created everything that exists. Lord, we praise you. We worship you alone. Lord, and we thank you for the beautiful intricacy of how you've created us. We thank you for the intelligence you've given us. But Lord, we confess that we are not you. Lord, that you are above all else. And Lord, convict us where we try to be you, where we try to live as if we are God. Or where we try to center creation on ourselves when it's all about you. Lord, thank you for the gift of salvation in the Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can see that the Jesus that we worship was there at the beginning. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, I pray that right now, if anyone in the room right here, or maybe someone hearing this message online, does not know you as Lord, I pray that they will come to faith in you. Lord, draw them to salvation. Convict them of their sins and show them the glorious gift that they is available to them in the Lord Jesus. Lord, lead us all to walk in awe and wonder of who you are this week. Lord, when our every day is lived in worship to you, Lord, we are different. We are changed by you. Lord, use us this week to show your glory, to tell the story of your love, of your gospel. We love you, Lord Jesus. It's in your powerful, saving name we pray.